I'm going to go ahead and have you pull out your Bibles, and you can turn with me here. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, in just a little while, but I want to set this up a little bit. It's been a while now, but we started a series of messages called God's Plan for Emotional Healing, and I warned you at the beginning of that it was going to be a little bit chopped up. With vacations and different scenarios happening along the way. And so if you actually remember all of the steps of God's plan to emotional healing, you've taken great notes and have really paid attention. Has anybody done that? That was a setup. Because we were away a couple of weeks, we had Jason Torville here 2 weeks ago, and I just trust you were blessed by Jason's ministry. And then last week, Pastor Donnie Marsh, youth pastor at Riverside Community Church, was here. And so we've kind of taken a little break, and we're coming back, and we're going to finish up God's plan for emotional healing. And if you remember, we started off with the parable, one of the parables of Jesus, with the unfruitful fig tree. How many remember that? Okay, and so the unfruitful fig tree is a good illustration of how God kind of what God desires in our lives to be fruitful, to be we're the fig tree, we're to be bearing fruit in that process we're not going to go to there in the scripture, but I'll read to you in Luke chapter 13. It says a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And then there was this process of the caregiver of the tree saying, hey, don't cut it down. Give me some time. Let me dig around it and fertilize it and give it a year. And we're going to just nurture this tree back to maturity and to health. And then we will see fruit on it. And so we took that parable and understood it to be this process of God giving us truth in our life and grace in our life and time to metabolize that grace and truth and how we need to have boundaries in our lives and how we need to connect with other people and sort out good and bad. And those were some of the topics that we talked about in previous weeks. The fourth and final step of becoming an adult in God's plan of emotional healing is becoming an adult. And I didn't plan the sermon on becoming an adult the day that we dedicated Elijah to the Lord. But it really works out very well as a great illustration. And because the goal of when you bring a baby into the world, I mean, you love that baby and they're part of your family and you enjoy them and you're with them and it's a good thing. But the ultimate process is to raise that baby up until they move out of the house. Isn't it true? To take that helpless little infant and give it everything that it needs at the proper time and the proper ratios, introducing them to know Christ and training them in the ways of the Lord, and then ultimately shifting that little human being from being completely helpless and 100% dependent upon the parents to being 100% dependent upon themselves in relationship with God themselves and moving out of the house and being an adult. This is the process that we're going to talk about today. And I do apologize in advance to Josh and Ashley because you probably are going to feel like you're in the hot seat today. The sermon isn't at you, but we get to use your life as an example today. Because we all have to go through a process of becoming an adult. Now, we dismiss the children, and so technically everybody else in the room, minus the little baby, is technically an adult. How many of you are at least the age of 18? Raise your hand. We'll just try and go for 100% participation today. And so what I'm talking about today is not really becoming a physical adult where the maturing process of the body just happens over time. What I'm talking about today is the process of becoming an emotional and spiritual adult. How many of you would recognize those two things, the biological adulthood and the emotional adulthood and the spiritual adulthood, don't all coincide on the same timeline? Right? Tina and I joke about this pretty regularly, especially in preparation of this message, that we've had times in our physical adult lives where we had the stark reality in our face that, oh my goodness, we're the adults in the room. And we were older than 18 at that point. Anybody have that realization? Maybe as a young adult, you're like, I'm responsible for myself here. No one's coming. I like that meme that says, nobody cares, work harder. And all of that responsibility and expectation upon your life comes, and it is on you. And sometimes, maybe even oftentimes, we feel unprepared for those situations. And that feeling of lack and not being prepared for the situation might come into your life at periods of times. You say, well, I'm an adult, but these might be realizations at the age of 20, of 30, of 40, of 50. There was something I needed to learn that I missed. This grand lesson of life that I'm now learning in my multi-decade life. Any amens with me? Right? There's stuff that we should have learned, could have learned, needed to know along the way and never developed and never realized in our lives. And it causes a lot of stress, a lot of anxieties in our lives. So that's the setup for what we're going to talk about today. So as I say, step number four, becoming an adult, just don't check off, well, I'm like this age and I'm an adult and I don't need to listen to that, because I'm not talking about your physical age. I'm talking about your emotional stability, health, and your spiritual health all together in one today. And I like the end of the book that we've been working through and our small groups continue to work through, a book called Changes That Heal by Dr. Henry Cloud. And at the end of the book, I love how he sums it up. He basically says, hey, we're going to all find areas of our lives, even as adults, that these are just missing parts. We don't get these things correctly. Here's the first and main point I want to make today, and I think this should give us great comfort. God desires that we all grow into fruitful adults. A fruitful adult. Now, think about this. In the parable of the fig tree, this is an agriculture illustration, and how a tree is to grow up and bear fruit, and that fruit comes out on the branches, and someone comes and takes the fruit and eats the fruit, and it becomes nourishment for somebody else, and those seeds out of that fruit can be planted, and other trees grow. And so think about it for just a second in this way. Have you ever thought that being a fruit on a tree is something that doesn't actually benefit the tree that produced it? It's for someone else's benefit. And so that tree doesn't get anything out of bearing fruit. The seed doesn't make its life go longer. The fruit of that tree doesn't nourish itself. It's a complete action, a selfless action of the tree to produce fruit. But God wants us to also be like those trees, where we develop in our lives good works and reproduction, and we're able to be a blessing in the world and be fruitful in the world and help other people in the world, and that to be a function of our lives as mature adult people serving God. Not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. And so this tree parable is helps us, because he comes to the tree and there's no fruit on it. It's a three-year-old tree. It should be bearing fruit, but for some reason, it has not yet developed in its maturity, or in some way it's sick and is not producing the fruit that gives life to others. It has only been barely surviving in its own life. Now, I'll just ask the question, how many of us have had times in our lives where We cannot be concerned with helping other people. Our own life is such a mess. Have you been through a period of your life? You're like, can we just talk about me for a little bit? I need some help. And that's good. And we're going to talk about that. But I want us to keep in mind the ultimate goal of becoming an adult is that God works through our lives to be a blessing to other people. And God wants us to find that healing, find that growth, and find the maturity in our emotional and spiritual lives to where we're in that place where we are able to give life away to others. This is the way Dr. Henry sums it up. He says, everybody who has ever lived has encountered a particular problem. Being born a little person in a big person's world and being given the task of becoming a big person over time. We are all born children under adult authority, and over time we are to become authorities ourselves, be in charge of our own lives. That process of going from complete dependence to complete independence as adult is a process. This, I'm going to take you to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read this. I've read this passage many times, and I'm going to guess you have as well. And this is the portion of Scripture that talks about the fivefold ministry of the church, the apostles, the prophets. I mean, you're familiar with that genre in these verses that we're going to talk about. And when we talk about and read these verses, more often than not, we're focusing upon an apostle. Who's an apostle and a prophet? What is a prophet? Evangelists, shepherds, teachers. Who are these people? How does this function? And then verse 12 is really the kicker of the whole thing. It says, why does God give us as a church these people and these offices? And it's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And I've often used this passage correctly in trying to spur us all into action and realize, hey, the ministry is ours. The church is ours. And God calls us into the world to be ministers in the world and the equipping of the saints, right? How many of you have heard that message? If you've been here more than 24 months, I'm sure you've heard that message at some point. We're going to take a look at this passage from maybe a different lens, maybe a zoomed out lens, because this whole section, verse 11 through 16, we're going to read all of it, but the Apostle Paul uses this analogy of the adult-child relationship. And what is the goal of the adult-child relationship is to bring about maturity. And so I want you to focus upon the language that talks about or highlights this child to adult language. And so let's start with verse 11 and read along. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Pause right there. He is talking about a group of people, the church as a whole, and how the church needs to mature up and grow into the things that he's about to talk about. But we're going to take this and we're going to take it, like I said, we're going to zoom out a little bit and look at how this is supposed to function, this adult-to-child relationship. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this is usually where I come in and make a joke. How many of you know that the church is completely there already? Right? Ha, ha, ha. No, we're not. We're a wreck. All right? So we have not reached full maturity as the church at large. And that is obvious. In verse 14, it says, and so that, here's this child language, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. In verse 15, he says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, and so it builds itself up in love. Now this is meant for and specifically applied to church life, church structure, how God leads and raises up leaders to help other people to grow up in their faith and be a part of a healthy, mature, functioning body of believers in the world. Can you say amen? Okay, that is the specific application of this passage. But I want to highlight this idea that the transferring or the maturing process of taking a child and seeing them grow into complete adulthood is something that's also in this passage. Okay, verse 14 highlights there. I did underline it, but I'll go back and say. Verse 14 says that we would no longer be children. What were some of the aspects of children? They're tossed around. They believe anything. They don't really have anchors in and of themselves. They are just along for the ride. They're absorbing information. And this, in specifically, is talking about churches that get and Christians that get kind of pulled in all different directions theologically and practically and deceitful schemes and human cunning. And how many of us would recognize that as kids, we were gullible? As kids, we were vulnerable. As kids, we took in things and we didn't question them as much as we just accepted them to be what the teachers taught us to be right. Right? But how many of us would also recognize that everything people teach kids is not right? Okay? And so there's that reference of children. And then in verse 15, what is the goal? He says what the goal is. And the word rather is contrasting everything that just happened in verse 14. So in verse 14, we're children tossed to and fro, and we're susceptible to evil schemes and cunning and human cunning and all that. He says, but rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to, say this with me, grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So, let's look at the verses again. He says, hey, there's all these people that God has given to the church to help them in these to grow up into Christ in every way, to be mature. And so he gives prophets, he gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, these people to do this. Now, I want to take this and let's apply it to our own lives. And I want to take you back to your childhood. And no, this isn't a shrink session. Okay? But we as babies needed people in our lives to function in similar roles as these fivefold ministers do in the church. Now, think in very general, broad strokes. What's an apostle do? An apostle is somebody who comes in and builds groundbreaking structures and builds up the kingdom and sets order and oversight and rules and regulations and helps structures be strong. How many of you know, as kids, we need our parents to come in and be strong leaders to establish in our lives and in our hearts these relationships with authority and with structure and with power, and we need our parents to do that. We also have prophets, and I'll come back to a prophets and evangelists, but these shepherd teachers are cool people because they get to teach, and we needed our parents to come into our lives and teach us the ways of God, teach us how to think, teach us how to believe, teach us and instruct us and carry us along all the things that we needed in our lives. Right now, you know, and I, you know, just get ready for the rest of my life to be one illustration of after another about my grandchild. Okay, and so right now, Ezra's 14, 15 months old. His only job right now is to absorb information. And so we're his parents and his other grandparents and all get a chance to be around him. We're just teaching them what we can teach them. Right now, we're coaching them to say Papa and Grammy. You know, those are the lessons we want. It's a race. Other grandparents, you know it's a race. So we want them to Now he's walking and he's starting to talk and he's playing with toys and he's just absorbing information. And there's a period of our lives where we need, as infants and coming into toddler life emotionally, where we need people just to be pouring information into us to help us to understand life. And so those shepherds and teachers, and another interesting part of the shepherds is that shepherds care for and protect sheep. That's what shepherds do. They make sure the sheep get to the water and back safely, to the food and back safely, and to protect against wolves and different things. And so we need, as infants, as children, our adults around us to come in and protect us from harm, to make sure we get the water and get the food and grow safely. And so much of this period of Ezra's life is keeping him alive, not falling off of this and banging into that. And so we've got gates and pillows and padding and all of that. And we need our parents and the adults around us as infants to do those roles and fill those roles. And I love these. As I was just thinking about, you know, what would a prophet or an evangelist role be in the adults around an infant? And I'm just thinking, you know, an evangelist is someone who introduces us to Christ. And how important it is for adults around children to come and say, you know what, here's who God is, here's who Jesus is, and evangelize that child to here's all the songs we are going to sing, and this, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, and we pour into those kids this desire to know and understand who God is, and that's the role of that evangelist. I think about the prophet, I'm like, okay, so how do we apply that? And I just think, you know, I'll just be super personal here. I never am that way, am I? Hope I don't cry. But how awesome is it when adult, as a child, an adult sees something in you, some likeness of Christ, some ability, some gifting, and calls that out and say, you know what, let's build on that. Let's develop that. That's a gifting that God calls you. And so a prophet is one who speaks for God to call out the people of God to stand up for him, right? And we need, as infants, we need adults to come around us and speak life into us to, you know, rise up, young woman, rise up, young man. God has plans for you. And we lend, as adults, we lend our strength to our children until they have their own strength to stand on their own. We protect them when they can't protect themselves. We feed them when they can't feed themselves. We call out in them the things that they don't know but are in them. We teach them that it's okay to learn and to fall and to fail and to get back up and to do it again until we've got it right. Good parents keep their children from experiencing failure and staying in that failure. But no, we're going to get it back up and we're going to do it again. And we're going to make it. You're going to make it. And so this idea of having adult role models, adult people in our lives when we are children to do these things for us until we grow ourselves and up in maturity, I think is a powerful idea and a commission to be adults in the room. Adults in this scenario use authority and power to protect and provide. Adults in this scenario use their own expertise and callings and giftings to pour into the little kids in loving instruction, knowledge, and in putting courage into them, calling them up into Christ's likeness, seeing their gifts, and helping equip them into adulthood. It's the transference of love and conscience and ability and responsibility and all these beautiful things that it takes to become an adult from an infant. Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. The commandments that I give you today, are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Teach them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. We're trained by our parents and the adults in our world how to be an adult in the world. Let me highlight one more scripture here, and I think this is a critical piece. Back in verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Okay? Here's the big concept with that I want to make clear, is the role of these adults is not to make children into their own image, but to help children follow Christ. Okay? Let me put it another way. The goal is not to get your kids to think like you, act like you, be like you. The goal of being a parent is that our kids think like Christ, be like Christ, follow Christ. And so eventually what happens is that child who is under the adult authority and power ends up growing up and becoming equal with the adults. I mean, you know, that's a weird transition. When your kids become adults and you are not allowed to tell them what to do anymore. And that's right. That's good. That's what's supposed to happen. Hopefully, this process happens very smoothly. Parents all chuckle, right? This perfect transference of complete dependence to complete independence happens smoothly, perfectly over time, and there's never any issues, right? Never any issues. Here's the next point I want to make. Our reality is that none of us grew up in a perfect situation, did we? We didn't grow up in a perfect situation. How many of you are willing to admit right now here live and in person, your parents were not perfect people? Okay. Anybody have perfect parents? Yeah. Okay. That's what I was shooting for. How many of you were perfectly parented by your parents? And you still got it wrong, right? So your parents weren't perfect, and you were not perfect either. And you realize that the world was not perfect. They didn't play along with the tune either. And so this way in which God has designed us to go from infancy to adulthood, from dependency to fruitfulness, from immaturity to maturity, it is not an easy process, and we've all gotten it wrong, and we've all messed it up. So what do we do? Well, some of the symptoms of this process not working out exactly the way it's supposed to is that we have oftentimes a lot of emotional problems and dysfunctions in our adult life that because of things that we've never learned from as a child that we should have had. And I'm just talking about imperfect parents. How many of you would recognize that it isn't just sometimes that our parents weren't good enough in what they needed to do because they were human beings, but sometimes we actually may have suffered abuses of power as children, and can come into adulthood with very skewed perspectives of power and our relationship to authority, and live a state of rebellion. I mean, you've ever met somebody who is still rebelling from their childhood and they're in their 50s. Or people have never learned that they can have their own opinion, and so everybody just controls them, and their life is miserable. It's a depressing, anxious kind of life because they've never learned that you can be a whole human being. You are an adult. Dr. Henry writes in his book some of the symptoms, and I'll kind of just glaze through these to get to something a point I want to make, and he says, you know, some of the symptoms of not being developed emotionally into maturity is an inappropriate need for approval. If in your life you go through life and you're just waiting for people to agree with you and give you that approval so that you feel good about yourself, that's something that's dysfunctional. There's a fear of disapproval, like you can't handle people not agreeing with you. Guilty conscience, sexual struggles, fear of failure, need for permission, feelings of inferiority. You walk into a room of strangers and you assume you're the least important person in the room. Feelings of inferiority, overcompetitiveness, loss of power, judgmental, anxiety attacks. This is what Dr. Henry says. Both generalized and specific anxiety can be related to authority problems because anxious people fear disapproval externally as well as internally. One of the things that Dr. Henry brings out, and I think it's pertinent, is, you know, we might be adult children living still under the conscience of our parents. How many of you can still hear your mom or your dad griping at you? And they're not audibly in the room, right? Their conscience is still imposed on your conscience. And if they didn't have an accurate conscience formed by the Spirit of God, then part of their conscience is laid over in your life, and that needs addressed. Because we need our conscience corrected and led by the Holy Spirit, not our mom or our dad. It can lead to depression. People who are criticized by their internal parent feel bad and guilty, which leads them to depression. How many have recognized we're in a season of anxiety and depression in our country, in our world? We need people to become fully functioning adults. And some of the amazing things that happen, and I'll close with this idea, and this is the good news. The good news is we can help each other learn and develop the missing parts, the things that we didn't pick up and learn and develop as children. We can learn and develop as adults, and we get to help each other do that. Right? So here's a couple of the things. First, we all need grace, don't we? If you suffer from a guilty conscience and you just can't do anything right and you're just such a bad person and you know you just beat yourself up all the time, what you need is grace and whole bucket loads of grace to establish that God loves you and cares about you and knows you and knows your that your feet stink, and it's okay, he still loves you. And Wayne turned around, yes, sir, your feet stink. I can't confirm that, but I know it's true. Right? So we have this, and we need truth. We need people to be able to speak into our lives. Hey, God, in the same stuff, God loves you. God has a purpose for you. God has reason for you to be in existence on the planet. You are not obsolete. You are an adopted child of God, chosen by him. And we get to teach each other and encourage each other. We get to normalize failure. One of the reasons why I make fun of myself so much on stage is because I want us all to realize there's nobody perfect. There's nobody perfect. There's no perfect church. If you go walk into a church and you're like, this is the perfect church, get out of there. You're going to ruin it. We need to normalize failure. Why? Because every time you try something new, chances are you're going to fail at it, at least in some degree, repeatedly. And that's good. If growing up you were taught in some directly or indirectly that failure was not an option, then you'll never try anything new that you might fail. You sit in fear. Your world is small. I'll say this, failure is not fatal. Unless, of course, you're skydiving. If you try something in our church and it fails, Welcome to the club. Tina and I will give you a list of things over the years we've tried and have failed. And continue. It's normal. Failure is normal. Get used to it. Get comfortable with it. Develop your own personal beliefs and convictions. I have my own beliefs and convictions. You don't need to think like me. I prefer you did. But you don't. You get to disagree with other people in this church. If you're the kind of person, when someone disagrees with you, you get offended, you're going to have a hard time here. Because we don't all think the same. And that's an adult way of living. I mean, you know, adults don't always agree. But we can get along. We can love. So, and put encourage. I love that word encourage, just meaning to put courage into other people. See what they might not see in their lives and call that out. You know what? This is something that you're good at. This is something that I think God might have for you. And use those things to encourage one. And the worship team, you guys come back up and we'll close this out. You know, I'm transitioning from this series into the next series on the Holy Spirit over the next couple of weeks. And we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit functions in the lives of a believer and how we can find gifts of the Holy Spirit and equipping of the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to be focusing on the rest of the summer. I'm really, really looking forward to that. But you know what? One of the things that I think is building up into that is just realizing that the Holy Spirit, that God's plan for emotional healing and health in our lives is to take us from our brokenness and disjointedness, parts of us missing in our emotional stability, and begin to fill us up and heal us and forming us into the image of His Son. I pray that for you. I pray that for me. I pray that for our church. I hope that our church would see that that's a part of our role in our community to be adults for our kids and the kids of our community, to help pray for them, protect them, train them, instruct them, call out in them the things that God has. That we would all grow up into Him in complete maturity, into Him who is the head, and that is Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for every person who's here, is online. And Lord, we may recognize today some things that we didn't pick up along the way that are necessary to being a fruitful adult in your kingdom. Might be fears and insecurities. It might be a guilty conscience. It might be failures from the past that we can't get over. We might feel inferior, stress, anxiety, depression. There's so many things, Lord. And that we pray, Lord, in these days and weeks ahead of us, that you would help us to find your healing and your development in Jesus' name. That if nothing else, today we have your hope of a better future, as stronger people in you, living rightly in this world, taking the authority of your children under your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.